This is our first Sunday back, so it's lovely to see everybody's smiling faces this morning. Would you please turn to your bulletin on the back page, the call to worship? I will read the regular print, and please follow along with the bold. Come, the banquet of hope and praise is ready. We come on your invitation. Feed on the love of God in Jesus Christ. Be healed by God's gracious mercy. In Jesus' name, you are loved, healed, and forgiven. And now we will have some singing here in this place, which is number 6 in the hymnal worship book.
And the words will be up top as well.
Here in this place, new light is streaming. Now is the darkness vanished away. See in this space, our fears and our dreamings brought here to you in the light of this day. Gather in the lost and forsaken. Gather us in the blind and the lame. Call to us now, and we shall awaken. We shall arise at the sound of our name. We are the young, our lives are a mystery. We are the old to yearn for your face. We have been sung throughout all of history, called to be light to the human race. Gather us in, the rich and the hearty. Gather us in, the proud and the strong. Give us a heart so meek and so lowly. Give us the courage to enter the song. Here we will take the wine and the water. Here we will take the bread of new birth. Here you shall call your sons and your daughters. Call us anew to be salt for the earth.
This time you'll wait.
Give us to drink the wine of compassion. Give us to eat the bread that is you. Nourish us well and teach us to fashion lives that are holy and hearts that are true. Not in the dark of buildings confining, not in some heaven light years away, but here in this place the new light is shining. Now is the kingdom, now is the day. Gather us in and hold us forever. Gather us in and make us your own. Gather us in, all peoples together. Fire of love in our flesh and our bone.
Gotta keep you on your toes.
Wonderful. So welcome here. I believe we have some introductions of some guests who are here. Sarah Peter's brother, Jacob, and his wife, Mika, are visiting from Paraguay. Where are you sitting? Wonderful. Thank you. Welcome here. Are there any other guests who would like to be introduced? No? We're good? Okay, great. We will do some more singing. Wind of the Spirit. Please stand.
The Spirit is moving across this lonely land. We are your messengers, your touch is in our hands. Help us, Lord Jesus, to care for our friends. Help us to love them, it's your great command. Oh, the wind of the Spirit, fill the sails of my soul. Send us on, Lord, let your wind blow. Oh, the wind of the Spirit, fill the sails of my soul. Send us on, Lord, let your wind blow. Your Spirit is moving with power and might. We walk together by faith, not by sight. You're calling your people to rise and unite. Standing together, we'll share Jesus' light. Oh, the wind of the Spirit, fill the sails of my soul. Send us on, Lord, let your wind blow. Oh, the wind of the Spirit, fill the sails of my soul. Send us on, Lord, let your wind blow.
Some announcements I'd like to highlight. After the service, there will be cake and coffee downstairs celebrating the ministry of Tim, as this is his last Sunday here. So you're all invited and strongly encouraged to come down for that after the service. On another note regarding Tim, he's number 4 in your bulletin. With my contract concluding in September, several programs need volunteers for them to continue running smoothly. The chat and play coordinator, youth sponsors, and kids club volunteers. If you are able to volunteer for any of those things, I encourage you to send Tim an email, which is just at the bottom of that announcement. Are there any other announcements that need to be highlighted? Yes.
Hi. My name's Gary, you guys don't know me. I have a little update here. Most of you know I've been suffering, I have cancer, and it's been, you know, we thought it was in remission, but it turned out that it's spreading out to my lungs. I got a tumor in each lung. That's the downside. The good side is we got an appointment at the Mayo Clinic. Dawn and I are leaving on Wednesday, and they're going to see us at 8 o'clock on Thursday morning. So that's the plus side. So we're asking for our support and the prayers, which we've already received lots of, but we need some more yet still. So keep us in your prayers. Thanks.
Thank you.
There is no announcements about Mr. Bullinger, but I just visited him yesterday in the hospital, and Heather was actually very happy. She was very anxious before, but she was very happy that he had improved considerably. The swelling was down. He can talk and he can move his hands, and that was important to both of them. So I just wanted to let you know that he is a little better and that they are optimistic and they appreciate your thoughts and prayers. Thank you.
Any other announcements or sharing time? Oh, yes, Lainey, thank you.
Many of you have, I think all of you have been praying for my sons over the many years of all the difficulties they've encountered. And my youngest son in New Zealand is really struggling, not just because his health, because of the injury he had to his neck and the spinal cord injury, but spiritually, he's very despondent right now. He hasn't worked for almost 2 years. He never received any workman's compensation because they denied his claim for his injury. And he's really, really having a difficult time. And more prayer is needed for his spiritual health than it is right now for his physical health. And he has no one there. And it makes me very sad that I have to be so far away. I would really appreciate it if you kept praying for him. Thanks.
Thank you, Lainey. Anybody else? Okay, let's move into a time of prayer. God, we come into your presence with praise and thanksgiving for your infinite, your faithful love. Your love never fails, not even when we turn away from you, when we ignore your invitation or desert you for gods of our own making. Even then, you do not abandon us, but reach out again and again, inviting us back into relationship once more. As you welcome us, so you welcome our prayers. We bring them to you with confidence, knowing that you will hear and answer. We pray for the world you created and the people who share it with us, for countries caught up in war or violent conflict, for regions of the world recovering from natural disaster, for the starving people of Eastern Africa. For these and all other areas of the world, here where there is need and despair, Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for our country and for its people, for our government leaders, federal and local, for our judicial system, police forces and military, for our cities, towns and rural communities, for employers and employees, for young and old, for all who are part of this great country. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for our local community, the people of this city, and for those who are unemployed, for those in prison, for those who are hungry, for those who are alone and afraid, for our neighbors, both known and unknown to us. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for this congregation, our brothers and sisters in Christ, for all those who are ill in body or in mind, for those who are anxious about the future, for those struggling with their faith, for those who minister among us, and for all your people in this place. Lord, hear our prayer. Pour out your Spirit on us. Fix our hearts and minds on what is true and honorable and right. Give us the joy and peace that comes from knowing and doing your will. Keep us faithful to the call we have received in Christ Jesus our Lord, extending your loving invitation to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
As Gary pointed out when he was looking at our slides, this song was written by Glenn Campbell, and we lost him this week. So another great musician and a great Christian that we've lost.
Let me be a little kinder, let me be a little blinder to the faults of those around me. Let praise a little more. Let me be, when I am weary, just a little bit more cheery. Think a little more of others and a little less of me. Let me be a little braver when temptation bids me waver. Let's strive a little harder to be all that I would be. Let me be a little meeker with a brother who is weaker. Let me think more of my neighbor and a little less of me. Let me be, when I am weary, just a little bit more cheery. Let me serve a little better those that I am striving for. Let me be a little meeker with a brother who is weaker. Think a little more of others and a little less of me. Think a little more of others and a little less of me.
We'll now have the children come forward for the children's story. There's more kids than I thought today, so that's wonderful. You guys can come sit a little closer. You're really far away. There we go. Come on a little closer. I won't bite, I promise. Okay, so today I really want to talk to you guys about parties. Do you guys like parties? Yeah? How much do you like parties? A lot? Just a little bit? You like parties a lot? I like parties a lot. I think they're super fun. What about birthday parties? You guys have some good birthday parties? Yeah? What do you do for your birthday party? Oh, nice. Your cousin Sam's birthday. What kind of stuff do you guys do for your birthday? Do you get to have cake and presents? And sometimes you go out and do some really fun stuff. Yeah? What about sleepovers? You guys have sleepovers too? A little bit sometimes? Yeah? That's exciting. How many people do you think you'd have to come to a sleepover? Would you have just one or two? Or do you have a whole bunch of people? Your mom let you have a whole bunch? Six? That's a lot. My goodness. You know what's my favorite kind of party? Our weddings. Weddings are such fun parties. I got to go to a wedding yesterday. My friend got married. And there were so many people. Guess how many people were at the wedding? 200? That's a lot. I have been to a wedding with that many, but there weren't quite that many at this wedding. But that's a lot. Do you guys think you'd have 200 people to your birthday party? No? No, I don't think I would either. 5 people for your birthday. That's a good number, I think. But for weddings, they're super special, so we usually have lots of people come to weddings. Because at a birthday party, it wouldn't just be you, right? You don't really usually, you don't have a birthday party by yourself. Because it's just a birthday, or if you have a slumber party by yourself, it's just going to bed. Or a wedding reception by itself, if there were no people there, then it would just be supper. So Jesus liked to tell stories to help people understand things better, and these things are called parables. And today's parable is about this huge party that a king threw for his son's wedding. Now the king, he didn't want to just have any party for his son. He wanted to have something super special. So he had lots and lots of friends and family all invited. So how many people do you think were at the wedding? At this big party? Take a guess. 5 people. I think there were a few more than 5. 2,000, maybe 2,000 people? That'd be pretty intense. The story doesn't tell us, but that'd be a lot of people and a really big party. Now how many people do you think who were invited came to the party? A quarter? 5? Any other guesses? All of them? Actually, nobody came to the party. Nobody came. Wouldn't you be so sad if you had a birthday party and nobody came? That happened to me once, and I was very, very sad. So the king, he even sent out some messengers to go get them, and they all said they were too busy. Oh, who's too busy for a party? And they thought their lives were much more important than the king or his son. And so the king was very upset. But he wasn't just going to let his party become just a dinner. So what do you think he did? Any guesses? Invited the poor people. Not just the poor people, anybody. He sent his servants out and said, go get anybody who's on the street and invite everybody that you see. Can you imagine doing that for your birthday party? If nobody came, you just went outside and said to your whole neighborhood, hey, I don't know you, but come on over and have a party. That'd be pretty crazy, right? Oh my goodness. So the room began to fill up, and the dinner turned into a party. And the king was very, very happy. And that's kind of like how heaven is going to be. Back in the Old Testament, God chose the Jews as his chosen people, just like the people who were invited to the wedding. And that made them very special. And then when Jesus came, a lot of the Jews didn't want to go. They didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. Isn't that crazy? I think it's kind of crazy, but that's okay. Once Jesus came, the invitation to heaven opened up to anyone who wanted to come, just like the king who went out into the streets and invited anybody. And that's still what it's like today. The invitation to the party that Jesus is having is open to everybody. Isn't that great? You think it's great? I think it's pretty great. Okay. So let's have a prayer, and then you can go back and sit with your parents. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that the party that you throw is open for everybody. Please help us to be open and invite lots of people to all the cool stuff that we get to do in your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys. We'll now have the offering song.
And this is a new one for us as well as for you, unless you've been listening to 95.1, so you might have heard it. But please follow along with the words if you don't know the melody. If you do know the melody, please, of course, join us.
3 in the morning and I'm still awake. So I picked up a pen and a page, and I started writing just what I'd say if we were face to face. I'd tell you just what you mean to me, tell you these simple truths. Be strong in the Lord and never give up hope. You're gonna do great things, I already know. God's got His hand on you, so don't live life in fear. Forgive and forget, don't forget why you're here. Take your time and pray. These are the words I would say. Last time I saw you, you said you were hurting, and I felt your pain in my heart. I want to tell you that I keep on praying, love will find you where you are. I know, 'cause I've already been there, so please hear these simple truths. Be strong in the Lord and never give up hope. You're gonna do great things, I already know. God's got His hand on you, so don't live life in fear. Forgive and forget, don't forget why you're here. Take your time and pray. These are the words I would say, from one simple life to another. I will say, come find peace in the Father. Be strong in the Lord and never give up hope. You're gonna do great things, I already know. God's got His hand on you, so don't live life in fear. Forgive and forget, but don't forget while you're here. Take your time and pray. Thank God for each day, His love will find a way. These are the words I would say.
Our scripture this morning is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 1 to 10. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests."
Hello. I have a friend named Paul. Paul is the outgoing youth pastor at Douglas Mennonite Church. Paul has decided that after 10 years of ministry that he is going back to school to finish his master's. Before he left his congregation, Paul gave them a gift. He wrote a book called Before I Go. In it, he records his 9 most important devotionals from the past 10 years of ministry. He had this book professionally bound and gave a copy to each of his youth. This sermon is my Before I Go. This is my last Sunday here. Next weekend, I'm taking the youth on a retreat. And then on the 23rd, I have one last challenge day, and then I'm gone. As I leave, I offer you a vision for what North Cadonan Mennonite Church could become. While you might not agree with the specific recommendations that I'm going to make, I trust that you can find the underlying ideas and take them for yourself. 2 months ago, it was my turn to give the devotional at Worship Committee. We each take turns bringing in an article or a poem or an excerpt from a book that we think is speaking to us. I brought in this book, Preparing Sunday Dinner. In it, one of the authors tells a story. Growing up, she often heard her parents say that there was always room for one more. There was always room for one more in their bed, on their chairs, or food at the dinner table. Sometimes there wasn't room at the dinner table, so they would bring out the card tables. Her mother would insist that the card table receive the same fine tablecloth and bouquet of flowers that the main table had. In no way were these extra guests to feel second class. Later in the book, she references Mennonite Central Committee's cookbooks, More with Less and Extending the Table, describing how these books have encouraged generations of cooks to expand their culinary horizons. I myself make a mean Pakistani keema. The author's point is that it is easier to make room at a dinner table and to try new foods than it is to extend the table of worship. Planning worship that includes people of all ages, differing cultures, economic groups, and varying theological perspectives can be difficult, but it is the mission of the church. Each element of worship has the potential to either be an act of hospitality or to be a barrier preventing others from joining us in worship. I'd like to take it a step further and suggest that every aspect of how we live in community can do the same. Because as James Charlesworth from Princeton Seminary said, Jesus was trying to break down barriers that separated people. All these tremendous barriers. Jesus was a barrier breaker. Someone on Reddit once said, if you are more fortunate than others, it is better to build a longer table than a higher fence. I want to propose 3 things that we can do to be more hospitable. 3 different tables that we need to build longer. First, we need to build a longer dinner table. Last winter, the young adult group was facing a bit of a slump. As you know, Maginot Line meets weekly on Tuesday nights, usually for a Bible study or games night. In January or February, we had maybe 4 or 5 young adults come out on a Tuesday. Then Valentine's Day came, and Chris told us that he was bringing soup, and 12 young adults came. 2 weeks later, Pancake Tuesday happened, and we had a potluck, and 16 young adults showed up, including guests. That's when we learned that the way to a young adult's heart is through their stomach. Since then, we've been having monthly meals. One of the single greatest things that North Cadonan Mennonite Church does in this community is to serve as a Winnipeg Harvest distribution site. It is truly impressive to watch the volunteers run the distribution line. It is in spaces like this where our congregation truly acts as the church. A couple of years ago, Gary discovered that there were a number of families in our congregation with classic vehicles. Slowly, he and a group of congregants put together a plan to hold our first annual Show and Shine. On Pentecost Sunday, they threw a bunch of hot dogs on the barbecue, parked their cars with their hoods up, and invited everyone to check out their sweet rides. And people came. There were tons of people from the community, people that had no connection with our church except for the fact that they lived next door. In fact, so many people came that we ran out of hot dogs. Someone had to run to the store to get more. What if we did this regularly? What if we had more meals where we invited the community in? What if we posted on our sign when we were having a potluck or our Christmas dinner? What if we hosted more events in the parking lot? Members of our geographic community might feel more welcome to come and join us. One of the primary reasons I've been told that we don't do this is because we are afraid that we will run out of food. As we have seen from the Sonnenschein, running out of food isn't a problem. We can always run to the store to get more. As Pastor Fran said last week, you can tell a lot about a people by the parties they put on. In Scripture, Jesus tells a story about a feast, but when the feast was ready, nobody came. They all claimed that they were too busy, so the host had to send his servants into the highways and byways to find the poor and the lame and invited them to come to the table. We prepare great feasts on a regular basis. Perhaps it is time we break down the walls of this church and open it up to those in our community. The next type of table that we should build longer is the word table. By this I mean that we need to invite more voices into how we make decisions. When you consider how to move forward, my hope is that you will find ways to include the youth and young adults in meaningful dialogue. They need to feel like their voices are valued. In the great law of the Iroquois Confederacy, there is what is known as the seventh generation principle. It says that every decision that we make should result in a sustainable world 7 generations from now. It is a principle often used in regards to environmental stewardship, but the Iroquois saw it more holistically, including sustaining relationships. When we make decisions as a church, do we consider how our decisions will affect future generations? Will there be a North Kedona Mennonite Church in 7 generations? We have benefited from those who have gone before us, those who have made it possible for us to have faith, and we are thankful for that. What can we do to encourage our children and our children's children to follow Jesus? Recently, at a youth ministers fellowship, we were discussing the Further Youth Institute's growing young research. Churches are both shrinking and aging as more young people disengage. Based on research with over 250 American churches, growing young is a strategy to involve and retain young people. One of the key points of this research is to give youth the keys to the church. Now, clearly, this refers to metaphorical keys and not to physical keys. Giving the youth the keys to the church means giving them real, tangible responsibilities. But more than that, it means giving them the ability to have their voices heard. One of the other youth pastors suggested that when we hand the keys of the church over to our youth, that they will open different doors than what we expect, and that this is a good thing. 2 years ago, Mennonite Church Canada's Future Directions Task Force released their final recommendations. In light of current economic realities, they called for severe structural changes to our denominational offices. This included many layoffs and handing over of eliminating certain programs. Many people were upset. I was personally upset when I heard that a faith formation consultant was being let go. So a group of students from CMU got together and wrote a series of documents responding to the recommendations. Calling ourselves the Emerging Voices Initiative, we sought to bring in voices that weren't heard in the initial consultation. This includes missions workers, mission partners, and young voices. Our blog became a major partner in the ongoing restructuring process. When working groups were put together to work on the recommendations, we noticed that the token young person was 30 years old. So we reached out, and several of our members joined the teams. We weren't given the keys to the church. We actively reached out and took them. Of course, when we did take them, MC Canada was more than willing to help us, to give them to us. But what if this had been different? What if instead of laying off a formation consultant tasked with helping children grow in faith, we hired more of them? What if MC Canada had included all of these voices earlier in their deliberations? North Kedonan Mennonite Church is facing similar demographic challenges that the national church is facing. Look around the sanctuary. It is getting older. It is a simple matter of demographics. Families aren't having as many kids as previously, and people move away for a variety of reasons. If this church doesn't attract young families in the next 10 to 20 years, the congregation will not survive. If we believe that what we've built is worth preserving, then we need to be willing to allow new ideas. Human beings don't like to change the status quo. We've realized that if we find the safe option and stick with it, we will be comfortable. We are like a ship in a harbor during a storm. But John Shedd once said, A ship in harbor is safe, but that is not what ships are built for. Young people can have ideas that are radically different than what we've done previously and can bring a new life into this congregation. However, if we put them on the spot and ask them for their ideas, they are going to go blank. But if we find ways that their voices can be heard and they are encouraged to bring them forward as they have done, they will feel welcome to continue bringing ideas forward. The third table that needs to be made longer is the study desk. Theology is a messy thing. As Ryan mentioned last month, we are finite, created beings trying to describe an infinite, non-created being. We are going to screw up when we do theology. Take, for example, the Trinity. We affirm monotheism on one hand, that there's only one God, and yet we also say that God is three distinct persons. When we try to explain it, we can overemphasize one side or the other. I personally don't believe that there is a good way to describe the Trinity, that we always fall on one side or the other when using human language. But by formulating and understanding both sides of the discussion, we can rest in the knowledge that the truth is somewhere in the middle. One of my favorite Bible studies that I've done with youth is the bubble study. In it, I describe René Descartes' concept of knowledge structures. Ideas get built on top of other ideas. But then sometimes we realize that foundational ideas that we hold aren't the truth, and the knowledge structure comes tumbling down. I propose to the youth that instead of knowledge structures, we should make knowledge bubbles that are made and are good for a time and then pop. But it's not the end of the world when they pop, because half the fun is blowing new ones. We need to hold our theology loosely, because we could be wrong, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't do theology. One example is our stance on homosexuality. I used to be a staunch defender of the orthodox biblical perspective that marriage is meant for one man and one woman for life. Based on my readings of the scripture, this was clearly the only way that we could be faithful to the Bible. I knew that we hadn't treated LGBT people well in the past, and I thought we needed to do better at hating the sin but loving the sinner. I'd heard that there were theologians who were LGBT affirming, but they clearly weren't being faithful. I also have a really good friend. He and I studied theology and philosophy together, and we had many deep, real conversations about our faith. He is a good Christian. And then he came out to me. He told me that he was gay. This really threw me for a loop. How could my best friend, a good Christian, be gay? So I actually started reading those affirming theologians, and I found good faithful exegesis, good faithful Christians who had good hermeneutics and exegesis. But instead of a beginning with the reading of the law, they began with Jesus and how he welcomed the outsider in. These theologians used solid understandings of the historical background of biblical texts to challenge common assumptions about passages like Romans 1 or 1 Corinthians 6:9. And I realized something. Both sides of the debate are full of good Christians trying to be faithful to their understandings of Scripture. This debate is ripping apart the church as a whole. It is dividing our denomination. Churches are leaving conference because they can't be in communion with each other. When I watch my friend's siblings refuse to celebrate his birthday with him and his boyfriend, when family members send him emails calling him an abomination, I realize that this can't be the right way to treat our brothers and sisters in Christ. Just because people disagree with us does not mean that we can't worship together, work together, be church together. So again, I say we need to build longer tables so we can invite the outsider in. Tables of food, where we can invite those outside our doors in. Tables of decision-making, where we can invite those who don't have power to share their voice. Tables of study, where we can learn from those who are different than us. Finally, I want to share how you already have extended the table to me. When I started here, you took a chance on me. Sure, I had a degree in Bible and theology, but I had no experience. In fact, Stephanie is better qualified for this job than I ever was. She has a degree in youth ministry, and she has experience working as a youth sponsor. So thank you for being hospitable to me and allowing me the chance to grow my ministry gifts. I know that it can be difficult to understand me sometimes, but I feel like I have improved immensely from where I began. Thank you to the children, youth, young adults, and their families. And thank you, parents. It has been an immense pleasure being a part of your lives, and I hope that God has used me in some small way. Thank you for extending the table to my family. Thank you for making Steph feel welcome, and thank you for your support when Simon was in the hospital. I think that Simon could have a new blanket for every day of the month just from this congregation. As we leave, please extend the table to others as you did already to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. I'm going to ask you to come back up once you put your stuff down, and I will invite Lainey and Franz and Chris and Megan up to say a few words to Tim.
So on behalf of our North Kelowna Mennonite Church and the Council, we would like to thank Tim for his ministry and for his service to us over the last couple of years, and we would like to extend God's richest blessings as he and Stephanie and Simon continue on in their new career and their adventure. And particularly, Tim, when we were looking at the last song, the words, "Be strong in the Lord, be faithful, don't live in fear," I think they really resonated. They did with me, and I thought of you, and we sincerely wish you all the best.
I would just like to thank you for the time you spent here, how seamlessly you fit in, especially with the young adults group here. And yeah, just that you are here and willing to do a job that often can be more difficult than it seems and have a few thankless and hard moments. So thanks for coming. Thanks for being here.
Okay. So, Tim, I just want to thank you for being such a wonderful person. Thank you for being a really great youth leader and a friend, for showing us a new way to praise Jesus. And I also want to thank Stephanie, too, for being here, because it's always nice to have more female leaders. And on a more personal level, I want to thank you for coming along my faith journey and teaching me what it means to love God and providing a new perspective on life. And for that, I am forever grateful. Where your path leads you, I don't know, but I think fun things are planned for you. So again, thank you, and I wish you all the best.
Tim, not too long ago, this congregation invited you and gave you a charge, and that charge was to find ways to help people grow in their faith, whichever that way and the kind of way and the kind of doing things that might be was left to your imagination pretty well. You have tried to do that very well. You have set guideposts for people to follow. You have examined the theology that is behind and underneath everything we do and plan as a church. And you were invited into the people's homes and into their hearts during the time that you were here. And for that, we want to give thanks, both on your behalf as well as the congregation's. And now, as that time has come to an end, we release you from that responsibility, but we also want to give you God's blessing as you continue from here. Let us bow our heads in a short prayer. Lord, as we let Tim and Stephanie and Simon go on a different route. As our ways diverge, we ask that we are made aware that you are with us and with the Wengers, that you are everywhere, and that you hold us in the palm of your hand and embrace us in the time of our need. And when it looks dark, let us remember that the sun will still shine and that you have risen from death and new life is possible. And so, Lord, we ask that you bless the Wenger family, that you look upon them and guide them and give them peace and joy as they go from here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Didn't realize it till just now, but this song also is a speaks to me in terms of what we are wishing for Tim. It's Go Light Your World. It speaks about how we can take the gifts that we have and go into this world and be good Christians and be faithful to the Lord.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes his home. So carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the hopeless, confused and torn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle and go light your world. Frustrated brother, see how he's tried to light his own candle some other way. See now your sister, she's been robbed and lied to, still holds a candle without a flame. So carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the lonely, the tired and worn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle, go light your world. Take your candle, go light your world. We are a family whose hearts are blazing, so let's raise our candles, light up the sky, praying to our Father in the name of Jesus. Make us a beacon in darkest times. So carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the helpless, deceived and poor. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle and go light your world.
Don't forget, cake and coffee downstairs right after the service. Love to see everybody there. And our benediction. Please stand for the benediction and remain standing for the final song. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
You're the circle of God's people, arms held outstretched. Come join and be part of the song, one voice, one hope. We're part of the new creation, God's plan for peace. Welcoming in the last and least, the circle's open. God's Spirit holds us up and gathers us to new community, working around and in and through us to rebuild our unity. God's Spirit holds us up and gathers us to new community, working around and in and through us to rebuild our unity. Together join to spread the joy God's people share of the good news. God is here, God's listening. God's Spirit holds us up and gathers us to new community, working around and in and through us to rebuild our unity. God's Spirit holds us up and gathers us to new community, working around and in and through us to rebuild our unity. We're the circle of God's people, arms held outstretched. Come join and be part of the song, one voice, one hope.